Hello, everybody. My name is Bea Bonner, and you're listening to Community Voices right here on NPR Illinois. And today, I am very fortunate to have Miss Kathy Randall in studio with me today. Thank you for joining me.
I'm glad to be here.
Well, Kathy, I don't want to hold you long, but we do want to learn a little bit about you. So starting off, we want to know where you're from and a little bit about yourself.
Well, I grew up in Quincy, Illinois, graduated a long time ago. I'm going to a 60th high school reunion this weekend in Quincy. Went to McMurray College and served on their board of trustees for 24 or 27 years. I'm not quite sure which. Long time.
Well, that's excellent. Now, I want people to know out there that Kathy has done a lot along with her and her husband, very big in the community, always helping people. You have lived quite a life, Kathy. I don't see how you do it all. That is a lot you have on your plate.
It's been fun, B.
I bet.
It has been.
I bet. You know, I'm trying to get like you. I want to get more involved in the community. So we're going to talk about a lot of what you've done. But first, I want to talk about your childhood a little bit. Mm-hmm. Now, as a child, I know you experienced blindness caused by too much exposure to incubator oxygen.
Yes.
But you could partially see through your right eye. But what was it like navigating the world as a child with partial blindness?
I guess I didn't think about it. I just did it.
Yeah.
I was having to blow a whistle to cross Grove Avenue, which is a quiet street in Quincy, but that usually worked pretty well. I played a lot of football, baseball, basketball, everything with the neighborhood kids because there were lots of kids in our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Climbed trees, did everything. My parents were great. They let me do everything I wanted to do. We had, we had lemonade stands in the neighborhood and did all kinds of things growing up, so it was fun.
So nothing stopped you?
Apparently not.
Well, I saw that you wrote something at one point about the importance of learning Braille and being able to cane travel. And that's not something you learn until later in life. So do you think your childhood would have been different if you would have learned both of those things earlier?
Probably would have been better. Braille's a fabulous language. It's just great. I mean, I'm not as fluent as I would be. I have friends who've read Braille all their lives, and they read, very fast, and I don't.
But that's okay.
But I use Braille all the time for addresses, phone numbers, clothes. Kathy and I have been, relabeling a lot of my clothes on plastic cards that I put in my Braille typewriter, and we write, purple outfit, so that tells me this is the purple outfit. So that kind of thing.
Well, I want to talk about your time in college, too. You went to McMurray College. What was it like going there?
Loved every bit of it, even the hard stuff. I was an English major, and my dream was to teach a lot of secondary English. Didn't get to teach as much as I wanted to because people wouldn't hire a blind person, which is sad.
Yeah.
Because my student said, Mrs. Randall, you're a good teacher. I said, kids, you know. So you're best judges. So I loved it. I love Mac. It was wonderful for me.
What was your experience like when you got to teach in the classroom?
Just loved it. Oh, I had to deal with my cooperating teacher, with my ed teacher at the college at McMurray, Dr. Stevens. I said, Tom, come and sneak in the back of the room so I don't know you're there. He said, okay. He was a friend by then, so I can say that.
Yeah. Now, I want to talk about the Illinois School for the Visually Impaired a little bit. I know you spent quite a bit of time there teaching.
I've taught there a bunch. I've been on their advisory committee for at least 6 years or maybe more. I love the kids. They're great. They're fun. They're kids first and blind second.
Yeah.
It's marvelous. I have friends who've taught their whole careers.
Were you teaching English there, or were you teaching any other subjects?
Anything, but English is my preferred, of course.
Wow.
But yeah.
Well, what would you say to others who may be experiencing similar barriers where people don't think they can do something because they may be blind or they may have another impairment? Because I think that's just crazy. I think if you can teach, you can teach.
Exactly. I think it's a built-in skill, maybe. If you like kids or like people and just enjoy doing it, do it. And the National Federation of the Blind, I met in 1982, and that's been a big part of my life, too. The NFB, I'm past president of the Illinois affiliate of the National Federation of the Blind. Every state has its own affiliate. And you just meet all these neat blind people from all over the country and all over the state and so forth. And I've gone to quite a few meetings and been involved for so long met so many people. It's great.
What are some things that the NFB does?
Oh, we give 30 scholarships on the national level every summer.
Wow.
At our national convention. This past year it was in New Orleans. Next year it will be in El Paso, Texas. Yeah, and it just moves around the country depending on where they get the best rates.
Well, that's great. And I know that you travel quite a bit. You just named some places that the conference goes to. So tell us about some of your travels.
Well, my late husband was a bird watcher, and Bob and I traveled all over the world hunting for birds. And so I've flown all over from England, Europe, South America, Africa, all over the place.
Wow.
And he was number 24 in the world of bird watchers. Oh, way back, but loved it. He's been birding since he was a little kid.
Aww.
And if he'd made it, he'd be 80 now.
Aww.
Yeah.
Well, both of you have also found a lot of comfort in the arts. So I know that your dad was an architect. Was that a big influence on why you love art so much?
Probably, yes. My father designed many churches, schools all over West Central Illinois, Iowa, and Missouri. So, and including Quincy High Schools 1 and 2, and I went to Quincy High 1. And, well, my good friend Kathy and I both went to Quincy High 1, and this will be fun to see people after so many years, the reunion this weekend.
Yeah. Now, what was it like going to a school that your dad designed? I couldn't imagine going to a school
so
my dad
proud.
Designed.
I was so proud. My father designed this school. Isn't this great?
I would be telling my teachers that, too.
Do you know my
dad designed the school?
I probably did. I don't know. But he loved architecture. He adored architecture. And it was such fun to go to, you know, various meetings with him and see his love for his work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know Bob loved architecture, too, and, in fact, was on the Dana Thomas House board.
Yes, yes.
Tell us a little bit about that, because I know that you all decided to change your house into, like, an arts and crafts style. And I'm like, what? I have never heard of that.
I know. He came home one day and said, hey, Kath, if we started getting arts and crafts furniture and gave me some of our Victorian, will you mind? I said, no, I won't mind, Bob. So it's fun. Yeah, Bob worked for the Dana Thomas Foundation volunteered there for 20 years, I think, and was on their board for 12, and worked in the sumac shop because Regina Albanez, who's just retired, I think, as manager of the foundation, said, Bob, I need somebody quickly with retail experience. And Bob said, Regina, I have it. From the Jacksonville Landscape Nursery business that he and his best friend, Pat Ward, started in 1979 on our kitchen table, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what is the arts and crafts style?
Okay, it's prairie style. It's simplified. It's like Frank Lloyd Wright. Mm-hmm. Gustav Stickley, various architects. Oh, gosh. It's still going on strong. And Bob and I have gone to a conference in Asheville for 30 years at the Grove Park Inn, which is a famous arts and crafts building. It's a hotel.
Wow.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Wow.
And it's wonderful. It's been built in 1913.
Wow.
It's an old building.
I think my grandma was born that year. Now, what was it like when you were going through the renovation process in your house? I can't imagine having to just change everything in there.
One room at a time, be also about all anybody can stand financially, psychologically, anything else. So you just decide what you want to do to each room, and you know, go say the kitchen. Say, well, we took up the original linoleum that was in our house, put down hardwood floors, put in, you know, lovely wood cabinets in the kitchen, and now we finally have put in nice countertops, granite counters. And so it all takes time and money and thought, a lot of planning, books, and a fabulous contractor. We had a wonderful contractor who went through all this with us forever. His name was Jack Crump, and Jack did all our contracting for at least 30 years. For a long time.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, everybody listening, if you are doing a renovation project, listen to Kathy. It takes time, but do it one room at a time.
Oh, yeah, that's about all you can handle.
Don't rush it. Well, Kathy, you have been so busy. I got to read that you were alderman in your town in Jacksonville. Yes, Tell us about that.
I knew the mayor pretty well, and she called me one day, and Helen Foreman, this is 1987. She said, Kathy, I need somebody to run an award. 5 or 6, I'm forgetting which ward is mine, forgetting which number, because now we've gone from 10, we've gone 14 wards down to 10.
Yeah.
And Helen said, I need somebody to run in this ward, and it's your ward, Kathy, would you please run? And I called Bob and said, Bob, Helen wants me to run for alderman. He said, if Helen wants you to run, do it. So I did. When I got out of college, AAUW, American Association of University Women, and League of Women Voters were both big in Jacksonville. And I knew Helen Foreman from both those organizations, so that's how I got to know her so well.
Wow. So So what did you do as alderman?
You help run the city business. Your town is like it's a business. So I was on, Parks and Lakes Committee and the Police Committee. Every alderman is on 2 or 3 committees. And so you meet once a week or once every 2 weeks in the summer for several hours, and you go in and sign all sorts of, you sign city money away that you think, wow, I'm glad this isn't all mine that I'm spending. So Bob would take me in and he'd line me up and I'd sign all these vouchers for city money. It's busy. You do a lot of work, but it's great that you're doing it for your town.
It sounds like a lot of hard work.
It is hard work, but it's wonderful, and you learn a lot.
What did you learn about your community during your time as alderman?
How much I didn't know about it, probably. But I loved every bit of it. I enjoyed it. And I sat between two wonderful aldermen, who either one could have been mayor of the town anytime. They neither of them were, but it's just fun to meet all these other people who run for the job of alderman. Mm-hmm. And it was great. I liked it and enjoyed it. Enjoyed that campaigning. Met a lot of people and enjoyed that too, of course.
Now, you also enjoy nature. I know we talked about birding a little bit, but I read that you all purchased land near the cabin you have on the Illinois River and donated it to the Nature
Conservancy.
Yeah. Yes. And I was like, wow, I don't know if I would have done that. So what made you and Bob want to do that?
Oh, Bob had always wanted to do this. And he birded with a friend of ours named Theron Hobson. And Theron was the steward of Spunky Bottoms Reserve. And he said, Bob, if you're ever willing someday to buy some land, let me know, because I need somebody to help buy some land above the reserve to protect it, the watershed, so as the water comes down from the bluffs into the reserve, so we can protect that land. So we bought 96 acres of rough woodland and built a cottage. And we went many, many weekends for about 15 years and enjoyed it very much.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
So I get to go see it again in September.
Wow. You're always traveling and going somewhere.
It's about 30 miles from here, not very far. It's between Versailles and Maridosha.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now have you seen your community, Jacksonville, change over the years?
Yeah. It's been rough. The past 10 or 15 years have been rough on the community. Mm. It's been tough. Having Murray closed in the summer of 2020, I think, was tough on the community to lose a small college. And I said, after about a year, I said, stop crying. You've got to get on with it. And we are. But we have a meeting in September, too. All the McMurray alums are gathering. A lot of them are gathering for a weekend in the middle of September to celebrate the college and all it's done for us and our alumni association. And we give annually, at least 30 scholarships. So I'm involved in that too.
Wow. And I know the Jacksonville Area Museum is going to be having some expansion and involving McMurray, so that's exciting.
It is. They're going to have some wonderful trees that are similar to the ones at the Dana Thomas, because Jacksonville was considered an elm city before the emerald birch borer killed off the elm trees.
Mm.
So it was a wonderful all the trees, all the streets were canopied with beautiful trees. MAC was founded as Illinois Women's College. I have an Illinois Women's College ring on and my own McMurray College ring on. So McMurray was founded in 1846, as was the Illinois School for the Deaf and the Illinois School for the Blind. Founded in 1846 also.
Wow. I didn't know it had been around that long.
Yeah, it has. That long. And Illinois College was founded in 1829.
Wow.
And if Abraham Lincoln had had the money, he would have gone to Illinois
College. I was going to say, maybe he went to Illinois College.
Well, he sort of did because he read a bunch of his friends' notes often, I think. He wanted to.
Before we go, looking back on your life and work, what are you most proud of?
I hope that I will live up to what I've put on my tombstone. This isn't too maudlin. Philanthropist. Birder for Bob and philanthropist for me. We have a shared stone in Woodland Cemetery in Quincy. It's exciting to be able to give money to causes you believe in. And NPR, oh, what a lifeline NPR is for me. I love it. I listen to it all the time.
Well, we appreciate you, and I hope you continue to listen to us. I hope you continue to enjoy Jacksonville and your travels and everything else you're doing. And I hope to be like you one day and hope to be able to give back to my community in such a special way.
Well, you give with your heart, your soul, and your pocketbook if you can. So you try to do it with everything you can. So it all works.
Well, that's so important. Well, Kathy, I want to thank you again for joining me today on Community Voices.
Bea, thank you for this interview. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
To hear more from the Community Voices team, visit nprillinois.org.